Welcome to the Bill Singh Podcast. My name is Bill Singh. I'd like to thank you for joining me once again as we talk about the proofs for God. And I've written two books on these proofs, and as it relates to science in the Bible or creation versus evolution. And the first book I'd like to introduce you to is the first book that I wrote on the topic, and that is called The World That Then Was. And this book right here is specifically talking about creationism, and it talks about the 6 days of creation and how they were literally 6 days, as God's word says. And it talks about the different philosophies behind just worldly thoughts behind the scriptures, even, and different interpretations of scripture that don't even necessarily include a literal 6 day creation period. And it also makes the case why the belief in a literal 6 day creation period is an important part of our faith. Second book, 10 Irrefutable Proofs of Creation. This is the second book that I wrote on the topic. It's a shorter book. It's about 120 pages with bibliography inside of it. And it's just 10 quick proofs about how God created the universe, how God created everything, and how we can look at creation as it exists and know for a fact that God did it, that God is our creator. And this is the book I'm going to be talking about today that I've been using as sort of a guide as we talk about the proofs of God. And this third part from this book is perhaps my favorite chapter inside of the book, and it's called The Expanding Universe. And the reason why I like this one is because it's a little more artsy, it's a little bit more creative, because what I do inside of this chapter is I don't just go from a purely scientific standpoint, but I also take sort of a philosophical standpoint on it as well. Namely, I start off with the scripture verse from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, that most people, when they're talking about this topic, are saying, you see right here that it says in the Bible that God is stretching and expanding the universe. And Isaiah 40, 22 says, he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and his people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Now, what I do with this passage is I, first of all, point out to people that take this passage to mean that, to understand also that it's written from a prophetic standpoint. So it's not necessarily meant to be taken literally. Now, very well could be taken in a manner that's where you can conclude that, okay, God created an expanding universe. And so that's how we should understand this passage, and that's how we should understand the nature of our universe. But then what I do is I take you through sort of a journey, starting off in about 500 BC with Pythagoras. And during this, I tell you about their original thoughts about the shape of the earth, what the universe is, and how ultimately when we trace the understanding of our universe, where we are in the universe, because back then they believed that we were the center of the universe. And then some ideas came along that debunked that and that showed that the world itself is round. And then we come to the universe itself, to our galaxy, to our universe, and to where we start getting a vastly different understanding about our universe as we study it empirically and scientifically. And there's a story that I particularly like, and I don't think I included it in the book. Funny thing is, after you don't read your books for a while, you start to forget what's inside of them. This story is about Einstein and Hubble. Edwin Hubble, I think his name is. And the way the story goes is that Einstein came up with a theory about the universe, and he used a certain factor called the cosmological constant. And he used it because things weren't quite adding up, and he needed a factor in order to establish as to why he thought that the universe was static, meaning unmoving, okay? So he was proposing the idea that the universe was not expanding and it wasn't shrinking, but rather that it was unmoving, that it's just kind of there, right? Years later, Edwin Hubble came along. I think his name's Edwin. I hope his name's Edwin. Otherwise, I'm still going to call him Edwin Hubble, okay? So Mr. Hubble, or Dr. Hubble, as I guess I'll call him for right now, he came along. He started making observations through his telescope and started to realize that there was evidence inside of the stars, inside the universe, that showed that the universe was actually expanding. Well, they revisited Albert Einstein on this whole topic and see what he had to say about it. And actually, he was kind of like, well, yeah, you know, actually the cosmological constant that I came up with, I kind of made that number up because things just weren't quite making sense. So I threw it in there. So expanding universe, okay, whatever. And so now we have this understanding that the universe is expanding. But then we start running into these different problems inside of our observations with the universe. Certain things with gravitational pulls and planets not spinning the right way according to what we would expect them to be spinning. And it started to infringe upon the Big Bang Theory. And people started saying, well, maybe the Big Bang Theory just isn't a legitimate theory. But instead of concluding that, what happened is that people saw that if we reinsert the cosmological constant, Albert Einstein's cosmological constant, into the equation, well, guess what happens? All of our calculations start making sense, and all of a sudden, we start seeing why it is that some of the planets are spinning backwards according to our models. And also, we start throwing in ideas like dark matter, dark energy, which are essentially the same thing, and so forth. And all of a sudden, we've saved the Big Bang Theory, we've saved the expanding universe, and all the things that we should be expecting from a, I don't want to say a secular model, but a not as rooted in scripture model, I guess, is what was being proposed. My point is that our knowledge of the universe is constantly changing. Our knowledge of our planet is constantly changing. For instance, the funny thing is, in my views are even constantly changing, quite frankly, because we're always told that the people back then believed the Earth was flat. Recently, I heard somebody say that, well, no, they didn't believe the Earth was flat. They didn't think the Earth was flat. They never thought about the shape of the Earth because they had no way to make observations about the shape of the Earth. So they just saw the Earth, okay? They saw land and they saw water. And so it never crossed their mind as to whether the Earth was round or flat. Only people that explored the vast reaches had the opportunity to be able to ponder on those sorts of topics. And people that maybe were kings or priests or whatever, they had the time to think about those topics, thought about those topics. But our understanding of the universe and of our world is constantly transforming. We'll say, for the sake of argument, that a lot of people used to believe the world was flat because they had no other way really to think about the world. And then as time went on, they thought, well, maybe it's not flat, but maybe we're the center of the universe. And then over time, they started to realize that, okay, we're not the center of the universe, anymore. And then we started saying that, the sun is the center of our galaxy, rather. Then we said that, okay, well, in this case, of our solar system, we started to say, okay, well, the universe is static, and now we're saying it's expanding. And so just this constant changing of our views. In fact, I remember when I was in physics, we were talking about whether the universe, get this, was either flat or round. Okay, I mean, my goodness, it goes on and on and on. We're almost back to the exact same arguments that we were before until we realize and conclude, ultimately, that we are on a quest as it relates to science and our understanding of the universe as it relates to the Bible. We are on a quest that I think that we should start with a biblical worldview, and that we should build our understanding of the universe through that. So regardless of the observations we make, I know that some people would argue about this and complain that, oh, that's a very simplistic view on it. But when we look at the universe, if you're a Christian like myself, we should be doing that through the lens of scripture, not making conclusions that are outside of scripture by looking at nature and then saying, oh, well, I need to understand the Bible differently. But rather, we need to look at the universe through the lens of the Bible and say, this is what the Bible is talking about. And understanding those observations through the Bible and not allowing the observations themselves to interpret the Bible for us. So I'd like to thank you so much for joining me today. I hope this was an insightful conversation. Once again, I have 10 Irrefutable Proofs of Creation, wonderful book, quick read. I'd encourage you to check it out on Amazon.com, and also The World That Then Was, a bigger read, about 300 pages, but again, gives you a fairly in-depth look at creationism from my perspective and in the matters that I found to be important as it relates to that topic. Like I said, it talks about the philosophy behind the creation of the world and the universe. It talks about different mythologies as it relates to the biblical understanding. It talks about the scientific understanding of where the universe came from and where our world came from and where life came from. Also talks about the origin of evil and lots of topics inside of the world then was that are fascinating, that will get your attention and that you'll love reading about. So I'd like to thank you for joining me for today's installment of the Bill Sang Podcast.